I'll be reading from Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was growing up, I was what you might call a goody-goody. I was not one to break the rules. I was risk-averse. I didn't really rebel in my teenage years, and I was a pretty responsible and reliable kid. If it tells you anything, when I was graduating high school, my class voted me class teacher's pet. So when I got my driver's license and started to drive, my parents were pretty generous with my freedom. I didn't have a curfew, mostly because they knew I was really just up the road at my friend's house watching movies that we got from Blockbuster, which, you know, doesn't exist anymore. However, when I did leave the house, if my dad was home, he was sitting in his chair, and he would always say, "Remember who you are." Eventually, I came to college here. And in the time before cell phones and texting with your friends and families all the time, I called my parents every Sunday night. That was our arrangement. And the conversation was pretty typical. How are your classes? How is life? Did you go to church today? And as we said our goodbyes, my dad would say, "Remember who you are." If I'm honest, at the time, these were just words. As a teenager who loved the taste of freedom and independence, I saw these words as my parents' way to still try to influence me or control me. And I was out on my own, and it felt good, because it does. But in our passage this morning, we meet the Israelites at the end of the book of Joshua. They're about to be released into the land that God has given them. There's freedom coming. There's independence coming. But before they go, Joshua summons them all together. And the part I read for you today is the end of that speech, which has the very familiar, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And this verse is on artwork and cross-stitch patterns and hanging on the walls of thousands of homes. It's a declaration that those who live under that roof will love and serve the Lord. And that's a good thing. However, sometimes a verse can be used so often and become so saturated into the culture that it begins to lose its meaning, especially if that verse is devoid of its context. Joshua's declaration is great, but why does he make it? If we look back at the rest of chapter 24, we see that the people are gathered at Shechem. This is the location of the tent of meeting in the new land, the home of the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant in the new land. Before the temple was built in Jerusalem, this was the central place for worship, the Hughes Auditorium of the new land, if you will. But this is also the place where God happened to appear to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And it's also the place where Jacob called his family to rid themselves of foreign gods in Genesis 35. Shechem is not just a convenient place to set up the tent. It's a place rooted in the story of who they are. And then once the people have gathered at Shechem in this special place, the Lord speaks to them through Joshua, saying, "Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshiped other gods." The Lord begins to tell them their story. He goes all the way back to when Terah and Abraham were east beyond the Euphrates and actually perhaps were worshiping other gods, how he brought them to the Canaan and promised this land to them, gave him Isaac as a son, and then Isaac had Jacob and Esau, and then eventually Jacob and his family would go down to Egypt. In the span of just a few verses, the whole family history of Israel is laid out before them. And it doesn't stop there. Then there's Moses and Aaron and the Exodus, then the wilderness wanderings, and then the conquest of the land that they are now standing in and about to inhabit. God, through Joshua, walks the Israelites through their whole story so that they will remember who they are. They are the people of God, the people chosen to be holy as he is holy. They are the people who are meant to be a royal priesthood. They are the people who saw God work through mighty plagues and deliver them from the Egyptians. They are the people who saw God provide for them in the wilderness through manna and quail and water from a rock. And they are the people who saw God fight for them as they took possession of the land. And now they are about to live in that land that was promised to them so many years ago. And as they are about to have that freedom and that independence, God says, remember who you are. Verse 14 again. Now fear the Lord and serve with him. Serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors that worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. In this simple statement, Joshua does a really remarkable thing. He gives them a choice. He says, if serving those gods seems desirable to you, then go right ahead. But what's at work here is this rhetorical strategy, because he has just laid out for them their whole story, their whole history. They would be completely foolish to worship any other god. He's asking a question to which he already knows the answer. Yes, you can serve other gods if you want, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord our God who did all this and brought us to this place. You are about to move on from this place, which at times may have felt like 4 years of wilderness, the Wilmore wilderness, if you will. There have been tests and trials. There have been times when you wish things could maybe be as they used to be. Maybe there are things that you would do differently. And there's possibly, just possibly, maybe, perhaps, been some complaining and grumbling, like the Israelites did. But in the last 4 years, God has continued to work in you and through you. Just like we heard from Rachel and John, God has healed some of you and transformed you in significant ways, physically, spiritually, emotionally. God has worked through you to bring about more conversations about the Christian response to racism, gender identity, and gun violence. God has worked through you to raise up the voices and experiences of people of color, including the first African-American student body president in Asbury's history. And God has called you, all of you, some of you to careers in the workplace, some of you to mission work, some of you maybe to seminary and ministry. And God has led you in the past year through this pandemic, online and hybrid classes, wearing masks on campus, no spring break, and the earliest exam week and graduation in recent history. And now God is leading you to a new land, a place that he has prepared for you. And you are not alone. God goes before you. Yes, you can serve whatever God you choose, but given all that God has done for you and in you and through you, as you go from this place, remember who you are. Thanks be to God.